Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, I get mail when you're on, and people raise certain subjects with me. I wanted to try one with you, and that is, you have a Republican leadership in the House of Representatives, which has been described as sort of to the right of center, seriously. You, on the other hand, have on a number of occasions espoused working together. I wonder how you reconcile all of that.
Well, I'm a representative. I work for 750,000 people in upstate New York and the Hudson River Valley, the Catskill Mountain region, parts of the Capital District region, the Mohawk River Valley, and central New York, the Leatherstocking region. That's who I work for. And so when I read a bill, I look and say, is this constitutional? And is it in the interest of upstate New York? If it's a good idea and it's constitutional, it doesn't matter which party brought it forward. I'm going to be advancing it and supporting it. And so at times, as you point out, in fact, I think I'm in the top three most independent Republicans once again in this Congress. It's because I bring forward that as a framework for action.
Your leaders shake their finger at you ever?
Well, look, I got called down to the principal's office on a number of occasions. Actually going back.
The principal meaning the speaker in this case. Yeah.
Well, look, first six weeks that I was in the Congress, they brought forward the reauthorization of the Patriot Act. And I went through the bill and I said, look, there are a couple of portions here, sections here that really are very problematical. In fact, one of them is, in my view, facially unconstitutional. And here we're talking about the roving wiretaps, where the Constitution is clear that for a warrant, you need specificity in person, place, or thing. And in the Patriot Act, we say, well, a general description will do. If you believe that, you've got to change the Constitution first. The second area that I had a problem with was Section 215, which is the way that it's so vaguely written that I was concerned that the government could end up collecting information on us in every direction.
Which is exactly what they're doing.
Well, it is what happened. And, it was a lonely place to be when I voted against these bills, the Patriot Act and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. But it was the right place to be because I was concerned about the abuse. So I got to reprise that that interaction with leadership most recently when it came to this amendment, the Amash Amendment, with regard to the NSA and its programs. Look, if there's probable—
Which I take it, just for the record, you voted
for Amash.
Yes.
Yes, because, look, I mean, I stand strongly behind the Bill of Rights. The first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, all our Bill of Rights that are there for us. I believe in our freedoms. And, we have the right to be reasonably secure in our person, our things, our property. And if the government believes it's got a case, it has to show probable cause. Probable cause begets a warrant. A warrant allows for surveillance.
Yeah, but I want to stop you right there because it occurs to me, being a cynical person that I am, this is all overseen by a FISA court. It seems to me that when they appoint the judges, and I don't know that we know who those judges are. We know ex post facto we often know, but we don't know who they are. They're not going to appoint people who are going to say no to them when they're looking for warrants. They're going to appoint people who say yes to them.
Well, the problem with this is go beyond even that, even though, sure, as you describe, is concerning. The problem is, at the moment, based on an interpretation of the Patriot Act, one that I had concern with and why I voted no on reauthorization, the interpretation, by the way, the specific language says relevant information. So the government has determined that relevant information is everything. Well, and they're arguing this needle in a haystack analogy. But look, here's the point. If the government's collecting information on us in our phone calls, our emails, and then they're saying, well, that then becomes a repository if we get probable cause. Look, this is a recipe for abuse. The government has to show probable cause before they can collect on us. All of this was based on searing experience that we had at the founding. Every single one. The Bill of Rights.
You mean the way we were treated. The British.
Which, by the way, the British, of course, that was our government. We now look back in historical. That was our higher government.
Yeah.
And, we wrote the Bill of Rights in there to say that these are rights that come from God, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So, Well, I think that it's been a long time, obviously, but we've drifted from some of this original intent. And this is why we have to take a stand for our freedoms, for our liberties, for our privacy. So you brought up the question. I got into this in detail, that there are times when, in relation to my leadership, that we are at loggerheads.
Yes, but don't they let, cynical Alan again, don't they let you, quote, off the hook as opposed to being in the tank because they know that you are from a very competitive district?
Well, let me just tell you that. You're reminding me, this reminds me of when I was in Iraq. You know, some philosophers describe what we were in as a low-intensity conflict. I want to tell you, when you're being shot at, There's nothing low-intensity about what you're going through. And the moments that I've had with leadership have been highly spirited. Let me just put it to you that way. Take a look at the vote of the Amash Amendment.
Sure.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but it's roughly split right down the center.
Yeah.
There were no votes to be let off the hook.
We
almost won that amendment.
Yeah.
We had, I think it was 205, 217 or something like that.
The New York Times reports that the group that was for the amendment are looking for another way to get to the same end.
Well, we're not going to tire because, look, we feel we're standing behind the Bill of Rights, which is something that unites all of us.
This is just in case everybody doesn't know, to rein in the NSA.
To require them to have probable cause before they collect information on Americans.
Yeah, because we all love to know the inside story of how this works. When you get a call from the majority leader's office, Eric Cantor, or the speaker's office, do you turn around to your staff and say, uh-oh, here we go again?
No. What's curious about this is that when you take a principled stand, and look, I stay even-tempered, even when others show high emotion towards me, I just listen. And then they think that perhaps that emotive behavior has changed my view. And then when they look for response, I say, the answer is still yes, or the answer is still no. So, I treat everybody with dignity and respect. I listen to them. But here's the good thing. Over time, when you have that consistency,
They know.
When they come moving through the aisles, and I've already communicated to them where I'm at, my interactions they've come to respect that I take my time coming to my position. Uh-huh. But when I have, it's not that I'm close-minded, because I'll still listen. But I've reasoned to get to where I'm at, and I never forget who I work for. I treat everyone with dignity and respect, but I know who I work for. I work for people in upstate New York.
You said before that you read the bill. There are congressmen who don't read bills. Are you ever surprised when you read through a bill and say, ooh, I didn't know this was here?
Well, love everybody. What's disappointing to me was the hue and cry in the wake of some of these revelations with the NSA, because, these were the concerns of why I voted red, why I voted no on the reauthorization, because of how vaguely written Section 215 was, and because of the facially unconstitutional words with regard to roving wiretaps. So it's disappointing that there have been members that go, I didn't think I authorized that. I didn't. Well,
read the bill.
Yeah, exactly. So, and which is one of the reasons why, it's really, I'm a voracious reader. I love to read books, and I don't get to read as many books now because I spend the time reading the bills that, of course, I'm responsible for voting on.
We only have 1 minute. I was recently at an event where I heard a story. I don't know if it was apocryphal or not, where somebody saw you and somebody, an elderly woman, turned around to somebody else and said, trip them. And you said, you heard it. And you said, I wouldn't trip her.
Exactly. That's regardless of how I'm treated, I think it's important to treat everybody with dignity and respect. I hope that I've been a leader in terms of comedy, and I've been a leader in comedy in both scores, but I'm talking about in terms of civility and bringing people together.
Comedy, C-O-M-I-T-Y, not E-D.
Exactly. Yeah. But, the friendships that I forged on both sides of the aisle, and by the way, we talk about this. When we get together in No Labels, we sort of lament and laugh at the travails and the challenges that we have, but we have made a difference.
Well, it's great to talk to Congressman Chris Gibson. Chris, you always come in, you always make us think, and we appreciate it so much that you're here and that you actually come before the microphones and spend time with us. We're highly honored. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Alan, and God bless you, and God bless all the listeners out there.